Time now for sports on 104.7 The Cave. Here's Ned Reynolds.
Mike the intern, Ned Reynolds in the studio on a cold and wet Friday morning. But you know what? The Kansas City Chiefs have a new player in the end. Brett Veach had to trade up. You surprised he was able to get it done with the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, that is a surprise, as a matter of fact. And a little surprising to me, too, is the fact that it's a wide receiver. Really felt like their greatest need was in the offensive line. But evidently, they maybe know something we don't know about Rashee Rice and what his availability will be, because they went for a wide receiver, Xavier Worthy from Texas. He's very, He's very quick, very speedy, speed right up there with Tyreek Hill and people of that caliber. But he's very thin, very small, and he may get jostled around a little bit by the, this is according to the reports anyway, by the NFL D-backs. But still, as a wide receiver, obviously the Chiefs in the next two rounds, which will be tonight, will be going for somebody up front to handle the offensive line and so forth and so on. But it is a wide receiver, went with pick number 28 in the draft. Chiefs had 32, but they traded up a little bit to get number 28 with Buffalo. And the fact that the Bills played ball with him is a bit of a surprise. What are your thoughts?
He is quick, like you said. And after listening to what Coach Andy Reid had to say and Brett Veach had to say after the first round of the draft was over, it sounded like that was kind of the plan the whole time. According to Coach, he said, you know, I know that I trust what Veach does in his play, and he kind of has a really good feel on what other teams' needs are too. So if they had Xavier in their mind, which it seems like they did, they probably had a feeling that one of the teams in front of them were going to pull him if he was still available. It's kind of the way you play fantasy football, my friend. And if you feel like that guy's going to get it, you go for it. And they did. So I think they were going to go for him the entire time. I think he was on their radar, and that was their board. Also, and the other thing that Brett Veach had to say after the first round was they, and what you kind of said, was they also have a plan for round two, three, four, five, and six. And so just because they go for a receiver in the first round doesn't mean the guy they get in the second round is going to be trash, or the third or the fourth.
It never is, Mike. It never is. There's only seven rounds in the NFL draft, and you don't draft. That's why I argue with they make a big deal out of Mr. Irrelevant. Well, Mr. Irrelevant took place when the draft was 60.
Yeah.
59 and 60 and 61 rounds, not seven.
Yeah.
You're going to draft top players in the seven rounds. So yeah, the guys they're going after are going to be very probable players on the team, and if not, certainly depth and taxi squad and things like that. What does they traded up three places. Now, you mean to tell me they thought somebody in behind him or
that
ahead of him?
That was the feeling after watching their press conferences after it. And again, too, though, and this is what I felt like, and I agreed with what after Veach said without him saying it, was, yeah, then they may know a guy that they felt like is going to go at pick 60 or 70 that is a front guy that is really, really valuable, that's going to fit into their scheme better than the guy that would have gone in the first round. That may be what it is. You got to trust the board, and that's what they're staying to. So I have to believe him, and we'll see. Today we'll let us know, right? We got second and third today, right?
Pretty deep philosophy for the NFL.
Man, in Veach we trust, and it's gotten us a couple rings, so I'm just going to let it ride,
well,
my friend.
You can't deny that. There's no question about the fact that the Chiefs' success has been overwhelming. Going for number three, and they already have the two Super Bowl rings, and three would be unprecedented, but the fact is that why they went for a wide receiver is what puzzles me, because I think they must know something about the legalities. The NFL says, well, they've already hinted they're going to suspend the guy, but they don't say for how long. Is it 2 games, 4 games, 8 games? Is it a year? Probably not.
No.
But what does the federal government do? What does the judge decide? And there is no trial date yet. So you run into all sorts of doubt about what could be the case with this guy. That's why they've got him. However, you better be ready and strong. And Rice is. Rice is over 215 pounds. He's got it. Worthy is not. Worthy's quick. He's another Texas player, and Rice is Southern Methodist, but this guy's Texas Longhorn. Well, you have that, and you do have plenty of opportunities for him to utilize that speed. That's also why you got that rugby player in there.
Yeah. Well, and again, on Rice, the fact that Coach and Brett keep talking about him in the conversation, says that they think and that he will definitely play this year. But also, I bet the state of Texas is going to get a nice little check from Rashee Rice.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Here in the future, either way, Ned. So it's probably a good thing the St. Louis Cardinals didn't play yesterday, but the Royals and Springbirds did. Let's talk about the Royals first.
Well, amazingly, both of them decided to turn their backs on the weather and go ahead and play anyway. The Royals and the Toronto Blue Jays played, and they got through five, and that is an official baseball game. And Kansas City had the lead on a two-run homer by Salvador Perez in the first inning, and that held. They called the game, and it's official game, so the Royals get the win 2-1 over the Toronto Blue Jays. Stopped after five innings, but that, folks, is irrelevant. It is an official game. Now, the Springfield Cardinals, and I don't know how in the world they ever started this one because it's been raining all day yesterday, all day, and it was a substantial rain. My backyard, I had a little bit of flooding in it, but the Springfield Cardinals decided they'd go ahead with the game, and this is the Arkansas Travelers they're playing, and they started the game right on time, but then in the last of the fourth inning, they decided to halt the game, and they suspended theirs with Springfield ahead by a score of 4-2. Springfield shooting, folks, for its 15th victory of the year. This is unbelievable. They are really on some kind of a roll. So anyway, they suspend this game in the last of the fourth inning, and they will complete it, hopefully, weather permitting, tonight, along with the regularly scheduled game, and then games tomorrow night and then Sunday. A very busy weekend for the Springbirds, who are back home playing the Arkansas Travelers. They are the Seattle Mariners, AA Farm Club.
So the weather holds off so you can get some more action in there, and you can get some action tomorrow night. All right, so what happened in the playoffs for the hockey boys and basketball dudes?
Cleveland and Orlando. The Cleveland Cavaliers had a 2-0 lead over the Orlando Magic. It's now 2-1. The Magic just ran away from the Cavaliers last night down in Orlando, Florida. Orlando, I kind of have a semi-personal pick for them because their general managers, John Hammond, who was one of Charlie Spoonhour's assistants up here back about 35 years ago, and a great guy. Philadelphia and the New York Knicks playing in Philadelphia, and the same situation holds true here. The New York Knicks, who had a 2-0 lead, don't get by the 76ers, 125-114. Score's a little bit misleading because it was a close game right up until the very end. The one that fascinates me is Denver and Los Angeles. I think I'm right on this, but I may be one game off, I'm not sure, but Denver, I think, has won 12 straight from the Lakers. One last night coming from behind, 112-105. That gives Denver, the Nuggets, the defending champions, a 3-0 lead over the Lakers, and Denver can wrap it up this weekend. We'll see what happens. NHL, the All-Florida matchup, Tampa Bay and Florida, and the Florida Panthers win this one over the Tampa Bay Lightning, and Carolina and the New York Islanders. And this is a very interesting little matchup now because these are clubs that are not often in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the fact is that victory here goes to the New York, I beg your pardon, to the Carolina Hurricane. Carolina wins it 3-2. So again, you have the two hockey matchups. There'll be a big weekend because everybody's playing this weekend.
Yeah, everyone except for football, but they're picking people. So yeah, everyone's really playing this weekend. We got any action on the college baseball front this weekend too?
Especially big games for the Bears. Missouri State is in Evansville for a night game tonight. They'll have a day game tomorrow and then a day game on Sunday. The Bears are right on the cusp of making the playoffs. The top eight teams in the Valley make the postseason play. This is the start of 12 very key games for Missouri State. They're in eighth place. They are the eighth and final team to make it. They really want to make it. This is Keith Cutton's final year as head coach, so the Bears will go out with plenty of incentive. However, Evansville is very tough, and this is where the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament will be played in a couple of weeks. Bears need to win. We'll see what happens. Drury is home. They're out at Metter Park, and they'll be playing Maryville University from St. Louis, the Maryville Saints, and that is a four-game series, which will include a doubleheader tomorrow and a single game on Sunday.
Ned, you have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm and stay dry, my friend.